to be perfectly honest, education is key. You have to know the legal ramifications of everything that you do with a firearm. So in knowing that, and I have to say, it was a beautiful sight to see those, I think they said 1,200 men and women carrying the way they were, responsibly. They weren't pointing it at anyone. They were taking their time exercising their rights. As long as you are educated and you understand what you can and cannot do under that Second Amendment right, honestly, you should be fine. We do know that when you're our hue, that even legally, sometimes that makes no difference. But operating under those legal rights that you have, you should be fine. We should be fine.
Why do you say that? You said when you are our hue. Let's put a fine point on that.
Well, you already know, and I'll just say Philando Castile. I mean, he was a legally carrying, melanated man. And he was still killed at the hands of those who are supposed to protect and serve. So those of us with our hue, filled with melanin, we are not always looked at and protected under that Second Amendment right like we should be.
Mm-hmm. The thing that is often fascinating to me, Deshaun, is how, and I took the opportunity to look for video, and this is definitely to Chanel's point, of open carry incidents involving black people, responsible gun owners who have been doing the same kinds of things that we have seen white militias, as we've seen earlier this year in Michigan. We've seen it earlier this year in Richmond, where you had members of the militia protesting in a state house with weapons. And yet, if you look at the video, and there are all kinds of videos of you know, black men walking down the street in open carry states, such as Ohio, for example, and somebody called the police and exercising the constitutional right. He is now on the ground, guns pointed at him, and detained before the explanation. Talk to me about that from your perspective. What's going on here?
Well, many people don't believe that the Second Amendment right is for African Americans. I can use the NRA as an example because I was an employee there. The NRA is protecting the Second Amendment, but they also have only supported an open carry law or gun ban when the Black Panthers highlighted their Second Amendment rights. This is not something new. The NRA also never speaks up or addresses possible law enforcement violations when it involves illegal carrying African-American male. This basically shows that large organizations and political powerhouses like the NRA do not consider the Second Amendment for African-Americans.
So what do we do about that? Because how do you balance responsible gun ownership with those kinds of risks, as well as, you know, certainly concern about gun violence in our communities?
I believe Chanel Tillman is on point. A shocking thing also is that in my book, the only Black Gun Association organization that I mentioned was the Black Gun Owners Association. So I was happy to be on the phone with her because she's on point when she says it's about education. Many people don't believe that African Americans are capable of fighting back and sufficiently defending themselves by bringing power to their Second Amendment rights. And we can and we will. And that's what I also believe that I saw when I saw that group march the other day.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about African Americans and the Second Amendment and responsible gun ownership. What do you think about that? Is it applied equally? If you have a comment or a question about this issue, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, Chanel, if I'm a parent of a black child, at what point should we have a conversation about responsible gun ownership, in your opinion? And how do you begin that conversation? Is it different when you're talking about long guns versus a handgun. Give me the rundown. What do you talk to your members about?
Okay, well, first off, as far as age, you have to know the maturity of your child. My granddaughter, my oldest granddaughters, both of them are 10. And for the first time, the oldest 10-year-old, she shot a firearm about a week or two ago. I honestly believe it's the level of maturity that that child has. Conversation can be had, honestly, at an age where you know that they understand. 4, 5, 6 years old, if they're old enough to play video games, especially video games that have violence in it. If as much as we see on the news today, violence everywhere, they show us being gunned down. They show us with their knees on our necks. If your child is old enough to see that, then it's time to have that conversation about firearms. White people teach their children very early. You see 4 and 5 year old pictures of them on the range. They know how to operate a firearm at early ages. Our children should not be left out of that. If you don't do anything but start with the basics, the 4 safety rules, keeping your finger off the trigger, treating all firearms as if they're loaded, keeping it pointing in a safe direction, know your target and what's beyond it. Start with the basics. Begin firearm conversation early on so that they're not excited when they see a firearm. They're excited because they see what it can do in the game, not realizing these could cause potential problems for you later in life. Explain all of these things to them. They don't have to have a firearm in hand to understand the educational part, but at least get them going. And when they get to an age where they're mature enough, then bring the firearms out. Teach them how to load it. Then teach them how to shoot it. But at least talk the educational piece so they know what to do if they find a firearm. Start there.
I agree. Chanel, can I add something? Because I believe you all.
No, go right ahead. Jump right in.
I believe she's also a certified pistol instructor. And
absolutely,
I
am.
Yes, I can tell. I'm also a chief range safety officer. And like I said, again, at the NRA, I help people build shooting ranges and improve shooting ranges. That got me the chance to witness them bringing their children to these ranges and applying basically 3 rules. And it's the 3 rules that I apply for all ages, which is keep the firearm pointed downrange at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Never put your finger on the trigger until you're ready to fire.
Mm-hmm.
And know what you're firing at before you fire. A child can handle those instructions with parental guidance. So I would start there as well.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about African-American communities, the Second Amendment. Gun ownership. What are your thoughts about it? Would love to hear from you at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So here's the, you know, one of the things that I kind of picked up, Chanel, is that you said you will see in, you know, other, you know, cultures, you'll see, you know, white families starting very early.
Mm-hmm.
With their children. In talking with members of the association, what do they tell you about why they have not, newer members who are new to responsible gun ownership, why they have not introduced a firearms education to their children?
Well, first and foremost, a lot of us, our people as adults, have a fear of firearms. So if we are fearful as adults, we're definitely not going to introduce our children. So once we get the adult comfortable, I tell them, and I always use this analogy in our concealed carry classes, when you first drove a car for the very first time, you were frightened to death. You didn't know how to handle this car. You knew that if you hit something, you could kill someone or kill yourself. It's a huge responsibility to drive a car. But the more you educated and trained yourself, education meaning reading up on the street laws, and training is when you put that key in the ignition, turn that car on, and you drive. Now, as an adult, you grab keys, get in that car, and you ride out like it ain't nobody's business. A firearm should be handled in that same idea. The more you educate yourself, and the more you train yourself, the less fearful you are. So as we talk about fear and getting beyond that F word, then we always bring up, yes, we have a CFC, a child firearm course, ages 5 to 12. It's free. We don't use real firearms. We use the firearms that we use in our concealed carry classes, the orange and blue firearms. I know Deshaun knows what they are.
Yes.
We use those for the children to get them acclimated. And it feels about the same weight as a real firearm. So to get them acclimated to what they may be dealing with later on, we start there. So, we'll get parents involved that way, and we see them opening up more. But it's getting rid of the F word. And it's not the bad F word. It's the F word that we can conquer. Getting over that F word is what will get our baby trained and mentally ready for that type of responsibility.
I would like to add why firearms are frowned upon. I love studying the history of this. Firearms are still frowned upon today, just like they were when masters were forcing Christianity on slaves and shaming them for touching firearms. Slaves were made to believe that guns were bad and dangerous to hold in the presence of white America.
Mm.
And unfortunately, I believe that is still happening today. But please note this as well. The rifle to many symbolizes the protection of one's freedom. And I study the culture and et cetera, and I don't know why we don't have that as much as other cultures have that in their system. They can quote things like, give me liberty or give me death, and so on and so forth.
Hmm. Let me go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Gabrielle calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, good afternoon. So I was just wanting to kind of piggyback to the fear of talking about, and I have removed, even before this, removed all of the weapons that look like, little toys and stuff. This is because I don't want my son to, experience. And, it was so unfortunate what happened to Tamir Rice. And like you said, parents are fearful because we don't want to repeat. But I see that it's very necessary in today's time in the world that we're living in that we do introduce, that conversation. And it's hard for me because my son is 5 and he doesn't really understand, I'm throwing away the weapons and the things he used to play with, and it wasn't harmful when he was playing with it, but now things have changed.
Real quick, Chanel, because I've got a break in about a minute, what advice would you give her to Gabrielle to talk to her 5-year-old about what firearms are beyond the fact that obviously they can be dangerous?
First thing I would say, Mom, is to educate yourself on firearms. Once you're educated, it will be easy to educate your child. But I would recommend first educating yourself because you can't have a conversation when you don't fully know what to explain to him. So educate yourself first, Mom.
Okay, thank you so much.
Well, I really appreciate that, Gabrielle. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about responsible gun ownership, the Second Amendment, and the black community. What do you think? Are you a gun owner? Are you thinking about it? Are you afraid to be? Want to hear from you. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. I need to take a break, but we are going to continue this conversation on the other side on Sirius XM Channel 141. Men and women want to hear from you, so give us a call. And if you're having difficulty getting through, please keep trying. I promise I will take as many calls as possible. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. And don't forget, if you want to hear this podcast, it's posted on WHUR.com every night before 9 p.m. Stay with us. This conversation continues. The original Quiet Storm on WHUR is next. We'll be back in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about your constitutional right to bear arms and how it is seen through the eyes of responsible black gun owners. My guests are Chanel Tillman, Vice Commander of the Black Gun Owners Association, and Deshaun Keith Bowser, author of Black Behind the NRA. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go to Nate calling from Waldorf. Nate, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I'm just calling. I'm an amateur trap shooter, and right now we train young black people or anyone how to handle shotgun.
All right.
So it's the Metro Gun Club. It's the only and last black gun club in the United States.
Okay. Awesome. Nate, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Okay, so full transparency, I come from a military family. I grew up around guns, never liked them. But my father was a military officer, and his father was in World War II, mother's father in World War II. There were long guns, revolvers, semi-automatic pistols in just about every house in my family. However, I literally, as we began to have conversations about doing this program, I literally started looking at the possibility of becoming a gun owner. I live in a wonderful neighborhood in Northeast Baltimore. Crime can happen anywhere or nowhere, doesn't matter. But you know, I just really started considering it. I will tell you the very first thing, I was kind of looking online, and I will tell you, guns are expensive. let us be clear, okay? But with that said, and you know, and I'll start with you, you know, Deshaun, if I want to look into becoming a gun owner, I'm talking about the owner of a handgun, what is the first thing that I need to do? Walk me through the process.
Well, we definitely discussed training. Safety is first. Mm-hmm. Across the board, safety is first. And the laws vary from state to state. I'm from Virginia. You know, I know that there's a, you know, you can open carry. Mm-hmm. You can have a firearm in your home. So basically what I'm saying is the first thing you want to do is do your research. Don't listen to someone tell you something and then run with it. Do your own research.
Okay. And then what? So, you know, after, okay, I don't have a criminal record.
Mm-hmm.
And short of having the $1,200 to start with for, you know, for something or... You know what?
You want something nice.
Well, I mean that. You know, that's what I saw. I'm just, you know.
Gotcha.
You know, because I don't know anything about the process. And,
gotcha.
I mean, literally, the last time, and it's funny that Nate called in about trap shooting because the last time I actually handled a firearm was about 2008. Was on an excursion at a country club. And there was golf, and there was trap shooting. I must say, having never done it before, out of the 30 guys that participated, I won. I don't know what that's about. But
yeah,
because I had never handled a shotgun before. And so, but, you know, beyond, you know, after you get an education, I mean, do I need to go to a gun range? Do I need to sign up and learn how that's done? Is there fitting? Talk to me about that, either one.
Yes, I recommend going to the range. Of course, there's training and being familiar with your equipment, you know, firearm or no firearm. You want to be familiar with your equipment, especially if a situation occurs. I like to keep it simple because people have asked me this question before, where do I start, what do I do? I look up the prices and et cetera, now what follows. I would say don't be shy to go to, you know, your gun shop in your neighborhood and ask questions, you know, what do I need to do? What is this background check about and et cetera? I will start there. And then again, I will get familiar with your equipment, whether you're purchasing a shotgun for trap shooting or if it's for self-defense in a home.
Mm-hmm. What is involved in getting that background check? We hear so much about that process. What does that involve?
Background check is a background check. This one here, it's not hard to purchase a firearm.
Okay. So, I mean, if I want to do that, help, walk me through it. Come on. You're the gun expert. Okay. Come on. Talk to me.
You walk into the gun shop, you purchase a firearm. He's going to do a background check. Like I said, it varies from state to state, but I want to give a sufficient answer. In Virginia, you purchase your 45 or 9 millimeter. He does a background check. You show him your license and ID. And that's pretty much it. Afterwards, you have to decide whether you want to open carry or conceal. You want to be, you know, keeping your firearm under or hiding it, et cetera. And, you know, basically you have to get a concealed permit in Virginia. If not, you want to open carry, then that's basically it.
So explain, I want to go back to the background check. Is this like buying melons at the grocery store when you're talking about the background check? I mean, how long does something like that take?
I'll be honest. While I was at the counter, I was not in the store long. He said, give me one moment. He went to the back. We're going to do a background check. I want to say it didn't take more than like 15 minutes for me. Mm-hmm. This was not a long process at all.
Mm-hmm. What would prevent you from passing that background check?
I'll be honest, I'm not an expert on this background check because I also continue to study what this background check is about, and there's a lot of debates on it from state to state. I would have to be honest, I'm not sufficient expert with this background check.
Okay.
Chanel,
your thoughts about that? I know you're not in that area. You're in Florida, is that correct?
Yes, sir. I'm in Florida. We cannot open carry here. But what we always recommend to our students, to attendees in our class, go to a range that allows you to rent a firearm, that try before you buy. That way you have an opportunity to try different firearms out, because it doesn't matter, like Deshaun said, what someone else tells you. Never go off of what someone else tells you about a firearm. It's nice to know what they like, but for you, the firearm that fits in your hand, the firearm that makes you feel comfortable, that's the firearm for you. It chooses you. You don't choose it. And as far as price-wise goes, there are some great 9mm. I'm a big Walters fan, and I'm not, you know, advertising for anybody because I don't get paid to do that. But I am a big Walter. I love the Walters gun. Try different firearms at a range that has a try-before-you-buy option. That way you know, I like the way this feels in my hand. What is this? I want to look into this. Some firearms are as low as $299 on up. Unfortunately, in the height of what we're in right now, the current state that we're in right now, everything is hyped up. Ammo is low. A 50-round box that would normally cost you anywhere from $9 to $17 is now $40 for 50 rounds. So because of everything that's going on right now, it's a great time to own a firearm, but it's going to be a rough time money-wise because everything, all the prices have been hyped up because they know people are buying. But that would be my recommendation to you. Go to a try before you buy range, one that allows rentals, and try different firearms and see what fits for you. The background check is normally to make sure that I know I'm like Deshaun, I'm not a expert on that, but to make sure you don't have any felonies, to make sure there's no domestic violence, because if you have any type of domestic abuse issue, you cannot get a concealed carry. Or supposedly a firearm. I'm not quite sure. I might have stepped a little quick in that one, but I know you can't get a concealed carry with that. But they check various things on your background to make sure that it is okay to provide you, allow you to buy that firearm.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tanya calling from Laurel. Tanya, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Okay, what's on my mind is not as much the education of the gun, even though that's important. What bothers me is we got people all over the world that's realizing that Black Lives Matter. And then what bothers me also in certain parts of Washington, D.C., in the surrounding areas, more so Southeast Washington, almost every other weekend you're hearing about some little kid outside playing, going to the ice cream trucks, or just outside playing. and they're getting gunned down by our black children. And you're saying they don't have that much experience, like the white kids learn about guns. Well, who's teaching the ones on the street how to aim so good? Because they're shooting off a lot of our young children. And I'm in the school system. I don't like it. It hurts me every time I hear. I think of one of my children, students a couple of years ago, not that many years ago, transgender, was killed on the 4th of July. So, of course, it touched a spot in my heart. And that really bothers me as a people. I think instead of us just looking at how we're going to protect ourselves from the white man, we need to learn how just to educate, how to just be protective and learn other ways to compromise instead of bringing out a gun. Because that teaches the children, just have a gun, I'm okay. You know, and it's not okay. My father never owned a gun, and he's gone on, and I'm in my early 60s, and I'm saying, you know, we never had a gun. I don't own a gun.
Let me stop you there, Tanya, because and hang on, because I want you to hear what our guests have to say. But before we do that, yes, we are acutely aware, painfully aware of the gun violence in our communities. There is no question about that. And certainly the arrests, for example, that have been made already in deadly violence just this past weekend, some of those have been in prison already related to that. But we are not talking about criminals tonight. We are not talking about people who buy guns illegally. We are talking about responsible gun owners and those who exercise their constitutional right to own a firearm. It's there. Second Amendment. You hear folks talking about it all the time, whether you hear President Trump talk about it or anyone else, politicians, public servants, and the like. It's your right to do it. And it's also your option not to. But let's not get the conversation tonight confused about what the Constitution guarantees versus the issues that we've seen in the streets. Chanel, I'll let you take it from there.
You said one of the most important things, that it is one of the things, I'm a pusher of education. She made the comment, why don't we educate? That is the number one important thing when it comes to firearm ownership. I think a lot of what we see in out in the street is the lack of education. No one in the home is talking about it. So therefore, what doesn't happen in the home spills over in the street. When you teach your children young to respect and understand the firearm and what it's capable of doing, when they get older, 9 times out of 10, you can't say all of them will follow that rule, but 9 times out of 10, that child won't end up being one of these people that's perpetrating these heinous crimes, unfortunately. No one's teaching them how to shoot, to answer that question, because if they knew how to shoot, they would not be shooting innocent bystanders. If they knew how to point and aim at their actual target, there would be no innocent bystanders, no innocent babies' lives being taken. These young people are out here just shooting, pop, 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 no target in sight. And whoever gets the bullet, we call that a lawsuit. And that's exactly what they're out here doing. No one's teaching them. They're just as ignorant to education, to the law, to firearms. And that's why they're acting in the manner that they're acting.
Can I add on?
Sure.
I believe the year 2020 is a great year for us to bring up these topics, because there are a lot of issues that we have in African American communities. We have mental health issues. We have, where we spend our money issues, and, of course, crime. But to go back to what the host brought up, at the moment we're speaking about the Second Amendment rights. And I hope you do go purchase your firearm, because you being hesitant on doing so is a reason why I'm glad to be on this show, because we're peaceful people exercising our Second Amendment right not to be violent or to get revenge, but to simply defend ourselves. And many people in white America are refusing to listen due to fear.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I would like to add, keep adding that Tamika Mallory, I love Tamika Mallory. she said it perfectly. We learned violence from you. I'm quoting her to make sure I say it right. There's evidence in 1921 Black Wall Street Massacre, 1923 Rosewood Massacre, 1943 Harlem Riots, 1959 Pearl River County, Oxford, Mississippi, Birmingham, Selman, Bloody Sunday. I can keep going, and those are just a few. But what the NFAC did was they showed that old tactics and distractions, which is what they do by changing the subject, let's not change the subject, those distractions will no longer prosper because this year we're not messing around. Mm. African Americans should know that they have the right to the Second Amendment, the right to carry, the right to protect their children, the right to fight back, the right to this power, the right to not be oppressed and bullied, and the right to freedom.
Yes. Let me ask you, there are a couple of issues that I think that are important to cover, and I want to go back to the ownership piece, Chanel. And this is a really specific question relevant to people who've never handled a gun before. What is it that they should expect when they are at the range, when they are going on, when they're training? First of all, if you're a complete novice, what is the kind of pistol that a person is usually trained on? Is it a revolver? Is it a 9mm? Is it a 380? Is it a 22? What does it feel like in your hand when you first fire it? What should a person expect? Give me the rundown there.
Okay, for Gridiron Firearm Training, which is I'm one half of the business, when we teach our classes and we're on the range, we use 22. There's less recoil and there's not a lot of bang. We always let them know to expect the bang, but there's not a lot with the 22. Once they're comfortable with shooting the 22, then we graduate them up to a 9. But if they're not comfortable and they're not handling the 22 well, we leave them there and we schedule them to come back for some one-on-one range training. We always make sure that they know there is a bang. Expect it. After they shoot one time, lay it down. Let's talk about what you just felt. Let's talk about how you're feeling. Let's get that out first before you resume shooting. Let's talk about what that first shot was to and for you. Get that out. Now let's resume. Once we feel that they're comfortable, then we resume. But the biggest thing is just to expect the bang. It's going to come no matter what the caliber of firearm it is that you use. The bang is going to come. Once you get past that, then the rest of the 5 fundamentals can be put into place.
I would like to let everyone know what recoil is.
Sure.
We're pistol instructors. But basically, the recoil is the kick. You know, the kickback. When I took my mom to the range, I gave her, 22 to 9mm and then a 45. I wanted her to know the death, experience with the definitions of the words that I was giving her. I said, Mom, it's going to be some recoil. Of course, she was like, yeah, I'm ready. But after experiencing what it was, she now fully understood, the vocabulary and exactly why you should do what adjust yourself differently with different firearms. Mm.
I want to ask you, Deshaun, about this. You worked for the NRA. What kind of conversations, if any, did they have about support of people of color who are Second Amendment supporters, responsible gun owners? Talk to me about that experience with the NRA.
Okay. Well, the NRA is the National Rifle Association. It is the organization known for protecting the Second Amendment. It is also known for being a racist organization. At the NRA, unfortunately, I learned that there are 2 types of freedom. My freedom is to not be enslaved and to fight for all and to share with everyone. Unfortunately, I learned that their freedom was to have the right to not to share with everyone and not fight for all. Throughout the building, I learned the Second Amendment through people like Huey Newton and the Black Panthers. I didn't see one picture of Huey Newton or the mention of Black Panthers in that building. I didn't find a black face on the walls. It was just a big elephant in the room, and no one was saying anything. And I was basically the only one for a while. It just doesn't exist. The answer is it didn't exist.
Hmm. Did you ever try to have that conversation, or was it just so obvious that as you're suggesting, that the Second Amendment, as far as the NRA is concerned, is only for white people?
I can't quote James Baldwin, but a lot of people just wanted to live in fantasy. They didn't want to, you know, accept these conversations and truths. So they kind of laughed it off, and I was outnumbered, and it just continued to happen that way.
Talk to me, and this is for both of you. You know, you're from Virginia, Deshaun, and of course, you're in Florida, Chanel. What is the purpose of open carry? Why, as a person who is, again, not a gun owner, but a person who is black, that, and I'm just going to be really, really honest with you.
Yes, please do.
I don't see the purpose of open carry if I am not a person who has large sums of money on me at any given time. I like French cuff shirts and ties and suits, that kind of stuff. I don't want to have to buy a suit jacket that has to be a little bit bigger. I just don't. Talk to me about what is the purpose of open carry.
I know many people don't want, you know, evasion of privacy, the background check, or even getting a permit. You know, they don't want to go get a concealed permit. They don't trust it, and et cetera. I've heard many conversations about this. So,
they don't trust a concealed permit?
They don't want to give any information or anything about their business or their purchasing of their firearms.
I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about the process. I'm talking about the mindset. Why would somebody want to walk the streets with a gun out? Like,
I know.
Help me with that.
I'm also a veteran. It isn't my thing either.
Yeah, okay, Chanel, go ahead. help me with that.
I'm from Virginia. I was born and raised in Hampton Roads. I've been in Florida for a little under 20 years now. When I found out that Virginia was open carry, I was really shook. There's nothing about me having a firearm that I want others to know. That is the point of having a concealed carry license or permit, depending on what area you're in. I'm not going to allow you to know what it is I have. I'm already, we used to think it was only our black men that were being targeted. We see now it is not just them. It's just us as a people now, male or female. So I don't need that extra target. Oh, she has a firearm. And for someone to call and say, there's a black woman in here with a firearm, and even though I can legally carry it. We see what happens to us even in when we're in our legal rights. There's nothing, and I'm with you, Harold, there's nothing for us, in my mind, we as a people, that would make us want to carry, open carry, to add an additional target on our back. You will get the element of this surprise if I need to pull it out, but you won't know I have it.
Let me tell you how you guys, I agree with you. For almost 4 years, I walked around at headquarters in Fairfax, Virginia, and many open carried. I mean, there's a fire range downstairs. There's people walking around with firearms. For 4 years, I chose not to open carry.
Yeah, no. And obviously, I mean, I've been in that building. I've been in that building when I was a kid. And because I walked through the museum, my father took me through because my father was a gun owner, P. Beretta, 9mm, okay? Mm-hmm. So I remember it, knew where it was in the house. Never bothered it because he told me not to. I was just, you know, really kind of curious about what was going on. I mean, is it ego? Is it testosterone or any of the other, you know, things that prompt us to be, you know, who we are? Because even if, and I'm with Chanel, you know, even if I am a supporter of the Second Amendment, you know, it's my responsibility. I personally would not be, you know, comfortable just walking around with a gun on my hip. And usually, when I do see people like that, and it's almost always the case, if you see somebody walking around with a gun on their hip, also on their hip is a badge.
Right.
Yeah.
So, also, just noted that this conversation happened between three African Americans. You know.
Yeah, and I think and
maybe they won't be that far.
And yeah. I think on one side of that, yeah, it's kind of funny, true, but again, as we saw in the as I saw in the videos this week and kind of doing research for this conversation, it just really disturbed me, particularly again in the social and political climate that we are in, that we can be walking through Central Park or a park in a state where it is open carry. And as a black man or a black woman, if we encounter someone who is not black or is not a person of color, and they may feel threatened and see that I legally have a gun, that it could be problematic. And so I think, you know, the constitutional right or not, we certainly have to be safe and we have to be smart, Janelle.
Absolutely.
I only have a few minutes left. I'll let you all have share some final thoughts on, you know, where we are right now with, you know, our black communities and our Second Amendment. What's your best sharing of thoughts about this as we move forward in 2020? Chanel,
right,
you
let
first.
Let me say this. Okay. You are your first responder.
Hmm.
With that said, the only person you can truly count on to protect you and your family is you. So knowing that, for those that want to wait for the police, that's what the police are for. Even if the police are coming for you in a great way, you know, you've seen a lot of ungreat ways lately, but you still, whatever's going on, whether the burglar's in your home, whether somebody's trying to get in your home, whatever the situation is, you still have about anywhere from maybe 3, 5, 10 minutes before that help comes. In that time, who's protecting you? You are your first responder.
And Deshaun, your final thoughts?
Yes, I would say as a veteran who has taken several calls from black veterans who just needed to vent due to injustice in 2020, something I want to see happen different this year is that African Americans just know that you have the right to the Second Amendment. It is something you can be proud of. You have the right to protect your children. You have the right to fight back. You have the right to not be oppressed and bullied. Mm. And that's what I want people to know.
And one final question. If something like that happens where you're legally in an open carry state and somebody calls because you're a black man or black woman with a gun and the police show up, what do you do? What do you say when the guns are pointed at you and they tell you to get down? Obviously you do that and you lay on the ground, but what should you say? Do you say, I'm exercising my Second Amendment rights? If the gun is in the holster and properly stored but visible, is that what you do?
Yes.
Oh, I was gonna let you take that one.
I mean, you know, I'm trying to help folks here because we're trying to help people make a decision about this.
Deshaun, I'm looking at the phone like, is he gonna say?
Yeah, both of us got quiet.
Well, go ahead, because you got 30 seconds. Go ahead, Deshaun, spit it out. 30 seconds.
I would give the protocol answer and say, during training, they tell you, you know, put the firearm down, put your hands up, and tell them you are in fear of your life. You want to think about legal terms and et cetera. I'll just end it with that one. That's the best I can do at the moment.
Something that we still need to consider as people try to make decisions about exercising their constitutional rights. I want to thank both of you for spending some time with us, Deshaun Keith Bowser and Chanel Tillman. Thank you for talking to us. Be safe in the pandemic and also be safe in the exercising of your constitutional rights. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
That is the Daily Drum for this Friday, July 10th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Bramonte Bryan and Millette Green, producer Candace Atkins and engineer Iron Waller, I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night and have a good weekend.